Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Good.
Kind of a spectrum.
Yeah.
Of good days we're having.
Yeah, good day is a spectrum.
It's relative.
It's on the spectrum. Good day is definitely on the spectrum.
Patrick Beja will be here soon. I know that he lives in both the countries that he lives in, I should say, are in the Netflix test area.
Ooh.
For that billing and renewal thing.
Yeah. Get around that 30%.
Yeah, it doesn't help us any.
No.
But you could save Netflix some money, which I guess is good, because if you keep their costs down, they're less likely to raise your subscription rate.
Although that's no guarantee. They could just you know what?
I said less likely. I didn't say guarantee.
They could one day decide foosball tables at every desk.
Sure, that's why I said less likely. I don't know why I'm yelling.
Struck a nerve.
No, it's just one of those things where I will very carefully choose the way I say something to be able to stop the email from coming in. And then Roger was at that point acting as the voice of the email, and I was being like, no, I said less.
Well, you know what you forgot to do? You forgot to push your glasses up.
When I said no, yeah.
It's like, no. No,
I didn't forget. I chose not to. I don't like it.
I don't like my glasses to fit on my face.
That is one of my pet peeves when people are like, you know, you forgot to mention. I'm like, no, I just didn't mention. You can mention it now, and that adds to the conversation, but don't accuse me of forgetting. You can forget. I forget nothing.
We'll see.
Too many emails. Too many emails. Roger, you don't when you read the emails, they're always addressed to me. So it doesn't hit you as hard, I don't think. Same for Sarah.
What are you talking about? Some of those and Roger at the very end.
Well, if they're addressed to you, then
Roger is often, I mean, most of the time it's Tom, Sarah, and Roger. Here's my thoughts.
Right.
Most of the time.
But when it's like
it's pretty
you
common.
When it's critical, it's almost always just to me.
Sometimes it's me, too, where
I'm not saying it's never to you.
It's going to ruin my day. No, it won't ruin my day.
I'm just going to stop reading email, I guess. Everybody else does.
No, don't do that. Feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com, Tom.
There could be a publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes thing in there. Oh, wait, does that just only apply to junk mail?
Man, you were doing so good on avoiding the 1990s era references.
Ah. Don't you want to be friends?
Have you seen that hot new show, Friends?
It's like New York, except affordable.
With big, big apartments.
So you know what I learned?
No.
Well, I'll tell you. I learned that a dog leash over 6 feet is illegal.
Is illegal?
Correct.
Oh, if it's not retractable.
Well, no, it's illegal, period.
What? It doesn't sound right.
That's what they told me.
Who's
they? Because I was like, what kind of leash do I get? The rescue center. They were like, 4 feet is ideal. 6 feet is fine. Retractable is not recommended. And anything over 6 feet is illegal.
What?
That's what they said.
Oh. Wait, this is for Santa Monica or like LA or?
I would assume LA County. And I said, well, okay, I'll get the 4 foot one.
That's okay. We have 6 feet leash and a 4 feet leash. The 4 foot is for Sawyer. Oh,
so you're legal.
Yeah. So because he's
you're street legal.
The 6 feet was also recommended as like, that's an optimal length for a big dog like Django. And we use it for Ray now too. And the retractable ones, they're like, you only want to use this in very specific circumstances. This is not what you want to be walking your dog with. This is you're alone on a beach, but you're not quite sure. You know what I mean? Like, they're fine, but they are not for regular everyday use. I never heard that 6 foot was a maximum leash length.
Wow. What are they word? Like you might clothesline someone?
That's what they told me. And I guess it's, I don't know, it increases the chance that, you know, you'll get wrapped around something or I don't know.
You were not misinformed. The municipal code in Los Angeles says if you take or allow your dog off your property or place of residence, you must have it restrained by a substantial chain or leash not exceeding 6 feet in length. Retractable leashes are fine as long as they're not extended more than six feet.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, I will do the best one. That's what I'll do. I've
never heard that before.
Yeah. Huh. So now you know.
Hello. Maximum leash.
Hello.
Hello, Patrick.
Hey. Patrick.
How's it going?
We are recording Good Day Internet.
Excellent. I have a question that can be asked on Good Day Internet, but is not necessarily relevant to the audience, but I can ask it.
Shoot.
Okay. Oh, I just wanted to interrupt real quick. Can you tap your mic real fast? So we're getting your headphone mic.
That is not good.
I just thought Patrick was going for a more Earth to the Moon sound today.
He wanted to feel a little roomy after being so sick last week.
Yeah, yeah.
This should be better.
Yes, ooh, better. There we go.
That's much better. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there we go.
Nice. All right, so now I can ask my question in my sultry voice.
Yes.
So, Tom, did I dream it or did you ask me to do a episode zero for MVGB so you could put it in the feed?
You did not dream that. I was asking if you'd do like a, you know, it could be 30 seconds. Does it just sort of a like, hey guys, we're coming soon with monthly video game briefing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did it just now and I apologize because I completely forgot about it. And but it's I have it now. I will send you.
You can upload it right into Acast then.
Okay.
This would be a good way for you to get practice doing that.
That is terrifying.
Well, that's why it's good to practice with this one, because it's just a teaser.
Okay.
And you don't have to do it right this second. You can do it later. You can do it tomorrow.
Yeah, but then I'm going to sleep, and then it's...
and then you'll forget about it. Yeah. Roger and I will remind you.
Okay.
Patrick, I wanted to mention last week that I started playing WoW again, so I picked that up, and currently running through...
Thanks to me.
Just because it was just the expansion was coming out, and I was like, now's a good time to jump back in. So I'm currently running through Warlords of Draenor with hardly anybody around. So it's almost like a community game that I get to play by myself. So it's really relaxing.
Well, I'm glad you enjoy it. it's kind of a I guess that's cool as well. But if you want to join everyone else in the fun they're having, which you don't have to. There's a character boost included in the expansion, so you can boost to, you know, level 110 but if you're enjoying the old content, then by all means,
I just hit 100 and about 75% through Draenor. So, and I'm hitting up AIE once in a while, and people are coming over and helping and getting their alts leveled with me and tackling some of the bigger stuff. So it's really cool.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm enjoying it as well. But in the actual, you know.
The current content.
Yes, exactly.
You elitist currenters.
We should let people know, though, that Maximum Video Game Briefing. I'm sorry, it's still Monthly Video Game Briefing. I like Maximum, though. I accidentally said that just now.
That's nice.
Keep that one in your back pocket. Monthly Video Game Briefing is coming as its own feed.
Yay!
So that's the DTNS Labs games that is graduating.
Correct. So DTNS if you Labs are too. Subscribed to the RSS feed through Patreon, you will continue to get it posted through Patreon. We have to decide if it goes into the... we'll put it in the other feed too. So either one. Clean DTNS feed or the full RSS Patreon feed. And if you're not subscribed to that feed, you can't hear us.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But there will be a separate feed for it.
So I'm uploading it now. So it doesn't pull the metadata from the MP3.
It doesn't. No, that's on their roadmap of features. But yeah, you have to manually enter all of those.
Okay.
I know.
So description, title. Do we do seasons and stuff like that?
Or? No, that's for things like serial and stuff. We don't really need to worry.
Episode about number. I'm going to do nothing because it's kind of episode zero.
Yeah, you could put a zero, I guess. But yeah, okay.
We're not to worry. Well, it only lets you select
one. Oh yeah, just leave a blank.
Yeah, one. So
you could put it as mark it as trailer, I think.
Ooh, well, it's not really a trailer.
Oh yeah. All right.
Because it's not representative of, mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't let me put zero. Okay, I'll just
leave it
like that. Okay, excellent. Edit markers. You said it needs to move one marker. This is all fascinating for the people listening.
Yeah, you just have to move it around. It doesn't have to. Okay. Yeah, it's good radio.
These conversations are how I started Ritual Misery, so don't discount
them. Okay, fair enough.
Wait, so... Oh, okay. Wait.
It was extremely important for Amos.
So I move it and then I put it back.
You can just move it. You don't even have to put it back.
Okay. Move it. All right. I moved it.
It's a silly little bug that hopefully they'll...
5 seconds, 42.
Yeah. It doesn't really, it doesn't matter where you move it.
Yeah, but if it does. Publish date. Now. Time. Now, set time to now. Ooh, but what time does it take? This is interesting. Does it take the time from
it
my system?
It should do what it geolocates you with.
Okay. Yep. All right. So I will say that I published it.
It actually takes local server time. So
yeah.
Yeah, but I'll backlog it from 26 minutes. So it's published at 11 p.m. my time.
Oh, I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing.
Okay, so it's published now.
Woo!
Yay!
Amazing.
I have to say the Acast folks, because I had a little glitch yesterday when I was publishing headlines. Very responsive, very helpful.
Nice.
Thank you, Acast.
Yay.
I don't know what the feed address is, though. Okay, I'm not talking about this anymore. This was reserved to the people we love the most.
After the show, okay, yesterday we were supposed to talk more about George R. R. Martin after the show and we forgot.
That's right.
So after the show today.
George R. R. Martin.
Remind his me of health, that. And I want to talk about how I'm going to have to move my studio.
Would you like a dog to help you?
I have two.
Oh, would you like a third?
Sure. I could do a dog sled booth.
Why are we doing this?
You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
All right, guys, we are live.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey. Oh, hey. We have two Rogers. That's incredible.
We've always had two Rogers.
There have always been two Rogers. And Roger, we've always been at war
Roger
with these
now in stereo.
I've never been at war with myself, even in the even in the kind of psychological psychiatric.
I'm not
sense.
Sure I believe that.
There is no duality. There is just me.
There's only Zod.
Well, that just ended the conversation.
So,
not at war with yourself. Well, how nice for you.
I'm moving into a new house in September. Sarah's Yay! Getting a new dog, and Roger's getting a new kid.
Wait, I didn't realize. Nice.
Which one?
Oh, crap. I need to grab some water, so I'll ask.
Oh, sure.
Patrick's like, whatever. I had a
very European
like,
of him.
Like, large, loud exclamation.
That's the PR in Patrick. He asks a question and leaves, so you have to think.
I'll take my answer off the air.
But like a very, you know, honest question is like, what happens when I do this? Like, does the dog, like, there's cables everywhere? It's like, I'm like,
well, it depends on the dog.
Yeah.
If the dog's mellow, you might be able to just let him in their room with you. You know?
Just have him kind of
on the other hand, if it's like Ray, I had to put her in the kennel during the show for a while. because she was a little rowdy, but now she's just upstairs on her own. She's fine. So
sure. Yeah. If the mailman comes, an issue.
Which house?
Otherwise.
Which house?
What?
Which
Tom,
house?
Which house did you buy?
Oh, we're buying a house. Yeah.
No, but you had like the one that you.
Oh, it was the first one Eileen saw that she fell in love with, and I did too right away, but that it had gone to someone else. Then it fell
through. Right, right. And then it fell through, yeah. And then you were like, did we really fall in love with it?
No, Eileen was never in doubt at all.
Ah, okay. So you got it.
Yeah. And now Amazing. It's time to do the show. And don't forget to ask me about it after the show.
George R. R. Martin at Tom's house.
Yeah, he'll be coming to my house to help me move.
Oh.
Provided he's
Lots
in
of
good health.
Lemon cakes and trenchers. All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
I was born ready.
Yes. Boom.
Been a while.
Sarah, would you mind reading line 3?
I would not.
All right. Here we go. 3, 2.
Thanks to everyone who supports Daily Tech News Show directly. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/supports.
This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, August 21st, 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, soon to be perhaps Studio K9, I'm Sarah Lane.
Whoa, big news.
Wait a second.
I know.
What?
I just want to keep you on your toes, Patrick.
Yeah, you said soon maybe, so we don't know for sure. You might be teasing us with untruthful facts. So,
it is not fake news. It will be Studio K9 tonight, whether or not that's a good idea.
The cats are not leaving, though, so it'll be Feline and K9.
It'll be Studio Zoo.
Studio Animalia.
Well, I can't really top that, so I'm just Patrick.
He's Patrick Beja. And Roger Chang is here as well. Hi, Roger.
Hello, everyone.
Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Tinder announced Tinder U exclusively for college students. It's a version of the app. Users must have a .edu email address and be geolocated on a college campus to participate. This is in the U.S. The service will roll out to iOS devices at 4-year accredited not-for-profit schools in the United States.
So this is a way to get their app usage in that segment of the population to increase significantly.
Kind of like
they want better numbers.
Facebook started back in the day.
Yeah, I feel this is a little bit different. Perhaps. Maybe not, though. Google is redesigning the Google Fit app for Android and the Fit section of the Wear OS app for iOS. Google says it used recommendations from the American Heart Association and the World Health Organization to create 2 new rings users will be encouraged to close. Move Minutes tracks all kinds of movement beyond just steps, and Heart Points tracks activities that raise the heart rate from brisk walking to gym workouts.
Sounds very familiar to Apple Watch users. BBC reports that the district of Kannur in India's southern state of Kerala, same state that's been dealing with the flooding, is holding classes to teach children about fake news on WhatsApp. The top official in the district, Mir Muhammad Ali, told the BBC they decided to teach children because the parents appear to believe everything they see on a phone is true. I figured if we get to the kids, maybe that'll help diffuse the situation a little bit. All right, let's talk a little bit more about HTC, Patrick.
Well, they announced it's their adapter to make the Vive VR headset wireless will be available for pre-order September 5th for $300. Shipment begins September 24th. If you have a Vive Pro, however, you'll need a $60 compatibility pack as well, which includes a connection cable, foam padding, and attachment device. A sensor plugs into your PC's PCIe card slot, which broadcasts to the adapter, which HTC says should get 2.5 hours on a charge. VR gamers looking to cut the cord with their PC will be able to pre-order it from September 5th, as we said. This seems like an expensive device on top of an already expensive device, especially if you bought the Vive Pro, which is more recent and more expensive than the regular Vive, and for which you need an additional compatibility pack. However, I mean, all this is true, but the number one complaint that everyone has about VR headsets is the cables are a nightmare. And sure, you'll still have cables, but at least they won't be entangling you between you and your PC. So I can see this seeing some purchasing happen.
Nick with a C says, how's this better than a wireless HDMI link plugged into your regular card? And the fact of the matter is, that's because you need more than just HDMI plugged in on this thing. So this makes all of it wireless, which is helpful. Well, HTC Vive, not the Pro, but the HTC Vive costs about $500 now, I think. It's down.
Something like that.
Down yeah. from its original $700 or so. So yeah, we're back to, if you want a wireless VR headset, it's going to cost you $800. Plus you have to already have a PC that's compatible with it. Not cheap, not cheap at all, but promising that, I mean, I think one of the things that holds some people up is the idea that they've got all this tethering and all this wiring. And if they can't just leave it plugged in, you have, it's a pain to have to reattach every time. So being able to just have a terminal in the PCIe card slot and pick it up when you're ready to play does make it a lot easier. I don't know if it makes $300 easier.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is, you know, aimed at people who already have it, who have tried it, who kind of like it, but feel it's a pain to re-plug every time or the cables. So I don't think it's going to be sold with the device initially, but people are going to get back to it thinking, well, I'm already $500 in. What's another $300 to make it more usable? And convenience is important, and this makes it a little bit more convenient.
Yeah. And also it takes care of the power, which is another positive slash negative, right? Because now you can only use it for 2.5 hours and maybe it won't quite last all 2.5 hours all the time. I'm curious. You can buy multiple batteries though and swap them out. So if you
I don't think most people will use a VR headset for more than a couple of hours at a time anyway. So that kind of works out okay in the end.
If you've been using your VR headset then more than 2.5 hours, consult another battery.
Let's talk about reputation scores. Ooh. Remember that old yarn? Facebook has been testing assigning users a reputation score of 0 to 1. This is over the past year. The score is just one measurement among thousands that Facebook uses to evaluate reports of problematic content. For example, if a user continually reports stories as false that then Facebook decides are not in fact false, then that user's reliability score would be lower and reports from that user will weigh less in deciding whether to have third-party fact checkers review a post.
Yeah, and it's not that Facebook decides they're false. It's we refer them to the third-party fact checkers and they say, no, that story's not false. And what they're running into a lot is people using the report button punitively to say, I don't like this story.
I don't like this rather than it's true or false. Exactly. It's I don't agree with it, which is, you know, when I first heard the story this morning, I was like, is it like a clout score, you know, like, you know, based on your popularity? And no, it really has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with how many people follow you or how active you are. It's more of, yes, can Facebook determine that you are perhaps intentionally trying to bury things that you don't like rather than their truthiness.
And it's an internal thing used uh-huh. among many other indicators to right. help streamline the process of fact checking. I think a lot of people can easily overreact to this story because it, you know, oh sure, slippery slope. Maybe they'll start using it for other things. Maybe they'll make it public, but they have not at this point done either of those things.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really clever way of dealing with the quote-unquote weaponization of reporting functionalities, which is an issue in every system. You know, if you report people on, for example, Twitch chat or things like that, there are a lot of instances of where a reporting functionality is used for griefing. So this mechanic could be used to address that, and that's quite interesting.
All right, here's another one that it's easy to overreact to. Microsoft, acting on a court order, has gained control of 6 domain names created by a group that is variously referred to as either Fancy Bear or Strontium or APT28. The group is generally believed to be a Russian group. The group created fake versions of three U.S. Senate sites, Microsoft's Office 365 site, and the sites of the International Republican Institute and the Hudson Institute. And in all cases, the sites were doing spear phishing. They would try to get users to enter their username and passwords because they didn't realize they weren't really at the Microsoft Office 365 site or the International Republican Institute site, and then steal them. It doesn't appear that they were able to gather a lot of those kinds of usernames, but it's hard to tell exactly. Both IRI and Hudson have been critical of Russia in the past, so even though they're conservative sites, that could be why this group was targeting them. Russian President Vladimir Putin said the government was unaware of the groups and did not, quote, know what this interference entails. So again, it's a tricky line to walk because the Russian government officially never acknowledges that they know anything about this. Everyone in the U.S. usually jumps to the conclusion that they do, but there is no actual proof that they do. What is true is that these groups are attacking. Well, I guess they're not attacking right. in this case. They're creating sites confused. In order to spearfish yeah. and gather information about people in political situations.
It's good. You take it. You started talking, Sarah. You get it.
Well, I just sighed heavily. Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's whether or not Russia, you know, the government has anything to do with this. I don't know. They deny it. Okay. Even if that's fine. The fact that so many people are still are, you know, they get duped by spear phishing attempts, of which these seem pretty sophisticated. You know, if you're like, this is a Microsoft 365 site that looks, you know, everything looks like it. It's like, we're all sort of used to that, but
I can create a site that looks like the Office 365 site if you're not paying attention and
sure, but I mean, are you going to, you know, be targeting a political figure?
Well, but I mean that my point is it's actually really easy to create these sites. What's hard is to get the right people to be tricked into logging into them. But that's not terribly sophisticated.
I think it's also telling that they would do this because this is not something you want to attack if you're not aiming for something specific. This isn't a money-making scheme.
No.
This isn't, you know, this is clearly political or, you know, state. Whether or not, as you said, you know, the Russian government act, we haven't, we don't have any definitive proof that they do, but it doesn't seem that you do this.
I mean, I know y'all are tempted to just run into the political storm.
No,
with
no,
this
no.
One.
That's not my point. My point is this isn't to make money. This isn't to extort anything. This is something that you do as a political attack, and so it's not. It's probably they're not going to make money out of it. So there's other motivations.
No, I think it's very obvious that because it's Senate sites, the International Republican Institute and the Hudson Institute, what they were going after. Yeah, that is certain. But I just try to be careful to say what we actually know instead of passing what my hunch might be off as actual facts.
Of course, of course. I mean, that's what I was trying to do as well when I was saying this is probably politically motivated. All right. Bloomberg's Mark Gurman and Debbie Wu have sources who say Apple will release new low-cost laptops and a pro upgrade to the Mac Mini later this year. The laptop would supposedly have a 13-inch Retina display and be an entry-level option as well as an option for schools. So essentially a MacBook Air replacement. The Mac Mini will supposedly have new storage and processor options at a higher price. So a beefed up Mac Mini. Do we need either of those?
Yes. I need a beefed up Mac Mini.
But and you're using a Mac Mini for the show on a daily basis, Tom. Right. So I mean you know the limitations and the good and the bad of this machine.
This Mac Mini is 3.5 years old now, I think, roughly. And it shows. It is tired and old. And I would like to replace it. I don't like the idea of having to pay more for it, but yeah.
I've seen it tagged as the Mac Mini Pro somewhere, which
that's a supposition. Like it's probably a likely name. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The more interesting for me is the 13-inch Retina display, which is, as I mentioned, probably a MacBook Air replacement. But it's also kind of in competition with the new MacBook, which is 12-inch at the moment. And is it going to be a little bit bulkier? So still closer to the MacBook Air? I'm not sure. I mean, clearly, it's going to be an entry-level Mac, so we know who it's for. But it seems like the form factor and the use case is similar to the new MacBook, would be similar to the new MacBook.
It is weird to think that the new MacBook would be lighter than one they would call the Air.
Right.
So maybe they don't call it the Air, or maybe this one ends up being lighter, even though it's a larger screen. And then the Air name still applies. Again, these Gurman's very good with leaks, so I don't doubt that it's very likely that Apple comes out with a new laptop and a new Mac Mini. What they'll actually name them, I mean, they may not have even decided on that yet. Who knows?
It's possible. I trust Apple has a solid strategy in place when it comes to market segmentation. Mm-hmm. If there's something we can't deny them, it's that they know what they're doing in that department.
I do recall, and I'm not sure if it was the latest version of the Pro, but there was a MacBook Pro that technically was lighter than the MacBook Air at one point, you know, and everyone was like, how does that work? So, I mean, the weight aspect of it is important, but I don't think that the Air necessarily is just the lightest. It's more a form factor than a weight thing at this point.
Yeah, and what's more important than the name will be the price. That right now, the MacBook is a little bit expensive for people as an entry-level machine. So having a price that's under $1,000 for a laptop would be a good thing for Apple to be able to present.
Let's talk about Netflix, which told TechCrunch it's testing the iTunes payment method in 33 countries. Specifically, until September 30th, some new or lapsed subscribers in selected markets across Europe, Latin America, and Asia will be directed to Netflix's website to renew their subscription, rather than renew it through iTunes. The test started with 10 countries in June, then expanded to 33 on August 2nd, and plans to run that test until September 30th. Now, back in May, Netflix stopped taking payments through Google Play. So this is not specifically an Apple thing, but it sounds like they're trying to get around that 30% cut.
Yeah, no, not get around, not have to pay it. They don't. Nobody well, wants to
what,
have to pay.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Get around it.
Well, get around it. It implies to be like, you know, is there a way to sneak by? They're not even trying to sneak by. They're like, we just won't go through the store at all. Like,
yeah, it's not as if Apple doesn't understand this is happening. Yeah, Netflix is like, no, we're totally doing this.
Yeah,
taking their toys and going home.
Apple has addressed this, I think it was last year or the year before, where they changed their subscription model, where they take 30% the first year, but then 15%. But it does beg the question about this, like if you have a solid, reliable subscription service that people love and you suspect are going to seek out anyway, do you want to be paying Apple 15% until the end of time because your customers just happen to have subscribed on iTunes instead of through your website? I think if this kind of thing takes hold, we might see Apple reduce it even further for the first year and make it so people like Netflix don't want to bother. Or maybe it will always be worth it for Netflix to bother with this.
I wonder if there will ever be a solution to this problem, because the way I see it, Apple's proposition is we're handling the payment processing, the relationship with the customer, the billing procedure, so that you, the small app developer, don't have to set all that stuff up. You don't have to have a billing department or anything. And in exchange, we take 30% the first year and 15% after that. That seems like a very equitable arrangement if you're a startup or a small app developer.
If you're the small guy. Yeah.
And you're getting going. That's awesome. What Apple doesn't want to do is let go of that relationship with the customer when the big guys like Amazon or Netflix come in and say, hey, you know what we have? Huge billing departments and customer relationships. We don't need that, Apple. Let us you know, sell through you, and we'll give you a cut, but we're not going to give you 30% the first year and 15% after. And Apple just says, nope, one size fits all. You either play by our rules or you don't play at all. And you make people jump through hoops to figure out how to subscribe to your stuff. And I think what Netflix is doing here is very interesting in saying, we give you a lot of money, and we're going to take all that money away unless you come to a compromise position. And Amazon has done it. Vudu has done it. Google has done it. It is a broken part of the Apple system that I think Apple just needs to come up. I understand it's simpler to have one policy for everybody, but if a company is large enough to have its own billing situation, you know, maybe Apple and that company can come to arrangement about sharing a little bit of that customer relationship and bring down the price so that I don't have to jump to the web to buy my Audible books anymore or renew Netflix.
I completely agree. I think in the grand scheme of things, Apple, it doesn't really matter. It's really small potatoes for them. But
I mean, it will. It is. But at a certain point, they have to look at the balance sheet if Netflix bails on this, you know, and say, like, well, OK, how much more could we be making? And I'm sure they do. And right now they're like, not enough. We'll just keep it as it is.
If Amazon didn't make them, you know, buckle.
I don't know. It just I don't know. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to DailyTechHeadlines.com.
So, hey, Sarah, why doesn't Epic do that with Fortnite? If Netflix can do it, anyway, so we'll talk about this.
Well, they're trying it on Android first. Maybe that's
exactly
coming next. Interesting. All right. Sarah found this article on CNBC today. Job search site Glassdoor compiled a list of 15 top employers that say they don't need their applicants to have a college degree for certain positions. Now, you don't always need a college degree for a position, but usually engineers, you know, skilled positions, you'll
it's
require,
pretty standard.
Require a bachelor's degree at the very least. Tech companies on this list include Google, Apple, and IBM. And last year, IBM's vice president of talent, Joanna Daly, told CNBC that 15% of her company's U.S. hires don't have a four-year degree, and that IBM looks at candidates who have hands-on experience, things from a coding class maybe, or an industry-related vocational class when they evaluate their applicants.
You know, it's funny. I was actually excited that Patrick was going to be on today to talk to us about this, just because you've got the international perspective. But I do have a 4-year degree, an undergraduate degree. Never once has anyone ever asked me to, show them my diploma. But it exists, and if it didn't, I probably wouldn't lie about it. But I do know a plethora of people, many of whom are more successful than me, certainly financially, that don't have college degrees. I don't consider it to be a real factor. I mean, it's certainly not a factor of smarts and wits and skill. We all know that. But yeah, it seems that, you know, companies are realizing as well that it's not the marker of the best candidate anymore.
It's certainly surprising for me to hear this. First of all, I think because in France, at least, we don't have the same standardized 4 years undergrad, then you go on to do your grad school. We have diplomas at, like, I know you also have a 2-year thing, but we have like 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and it's starting to be uniformified a little bit across Europe. So 4 years is getting a little bit more common, but I think I didn't realize that you attached that much importance to your 4 years degree. And my understanding is that the first 2 years are really general, and that in France, we kind of cover this a little bit before. So anyway, the bottom line is my image of the US, which seems is extremely inaccurate, was diplomas don't matter all that much, especially in the tech industries, at companies like, you know, Apple and probably others. I mean, Google, they did get started in a dorm in a university, and IBM, they are, you know, squares in suits from the history books. But it would seem like companies in the tech sector would think, yeah, bootstraps, people who learn by themselves, who go and hack on the machines they have. It's kind of a little bit mind-boggling that they would require a degree. You know, if you think, yeah, most people we would ask that they show us their degree. But if we come across someone who doesn't have it, one and who makes a compelling case for why he has the skills, you can't hire them because your policy is to require a degree? That seems very strange to me. At least it doesn't jive with the image I had of these companies and the U.S. in general.
Well,
I think... go ahead, Tom.
No, all I want to say is it's not like there was a rule against it or a law against it. But generally, you knew in the U.S. that if you didn't have some kind of post-high school education to show, you were less likely to get hired for these higher level positions. So I'm not sure that it's that different in Europe. When you, I know you have a different, and it's hard to compare because it's apples and oranges, right? You have a different collegiate system set up, but I want to know, are you saying that in France, if someone came in and said like, oh no, I've done a lot of coding projects, but no, I have no degrees, they would be equally as considered as someone who has gone through even a 2 or a 3 year degree?
Well, probably not as equally considered.
And
of
that's
course,
that's what's changing, is these companies are now saying like, sure, sometimes we hire somebody because we can just tell they're really talented and they did something cool like Kevin Mitnick, you know, hacking or they created an app. Right. But what they're saying now is, you know what, if you've taken a code course and you can show it that you can code, we're not going to go through the formality of making you show us a community college degree even. We're just going to hire you based on talent. And I think that is a change.
So I guess I was trapped by the headline a little bit, which if I read it, you know, literally, it says they no longer require employees to have a college degree, which I took to mean before that, they required employees to have a college degree.
Well, almost, yes.
On paper, but it was, do you have a degree? I think, you know, one of the things that I've noticed, and it still happens, but, you know, there'll be stories every once in a while of like, so-and-so got this really lucrative job, but it turns out they lied about their degree, right? Now, you know, you shouldn't lie about anything, right? But that aside, the person lied about it because they're trying to get the job, because the job required them to have a degree that they didn't have. Did they have the skills required to do the job really well? Perhaps they did. So in my opinion, the less that we, you know, sort of, you know, offer, you know, or enforce these parameters that keep people out of jobs that they actually might be really good at, because they may have learned their skills in different ways. And again, yeah, when it comes to coding and, you know, computer science and, you know, there's so many different ways to gain knowledge. I mean, just having interest really is probably, you're probably better off than having a degree in a lot of cases. And I think a lot of companies realize this and there's less emphasis on the traditional education system, at least in the U.S.
I guess that's what struck me the most. It's for this industry in particular to value the degree. I understand. I mean, engineers, of course, you have to know your thing. But I would think, and again, that's my view as a European, that they would consider the degree as one of the ways you would get into the
position of knowledge. So wait, when you have a job posting in France and it says, you know, job requirements, we need you to be able to type this fast and know this, degrees are not listed there?
So I'll also reveal something that I've never really had a real job of that kind. I've never applied to jobs. I kind of...
you just fell into them?
I think I understand.
Jobs. Yeah. So maybe that's why. I never worked in a real company before.
But I mean, but you've seen job postings, right?
Have I though, Tom? Have I ever been interested? No, I've seen them. I just get the feeling that, and again, I might be completely mistaken because of my lack of familiarity with this, even in France, but I have a feeling that, of course, a degree is the most common and most important way you would come by a job. But if somehow you manage to get experience in that field and have had different jobs before and have proven that you have had projects that are relevant to the experience you're being asked, then the degree can be overlooked relatively easily. Maybe I'm wrong. But.
Right. Well, I sort of liken it to, okay, so if I'm a trained pianist, right, and I can read music and I'm great at that, you know, and the person who's going to hire me to, you know, run the piano school, right, they're like, yes, all the credentials are great. well, what if I'm just good at it in some other way? And I think more and more companies realize that, particularly when it comes to technical work, the four-year degree or, you know, or graduate degree or whatever you have, that's a great indicator that you're on the right track, but not the only one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of degrees. It's not, I can't help myself. It's not that you couldn't ever hire someone, but the company policies were usually like, well, the job requirement is to have a four-year degree. That's a weed out factor. But you can make exceptions if you can show. And what I think the story is there are way more exceptions being made now. And companies are even saying, you know what? You don't even have to have a four-year degree. You just have to, there's all these other ways you can show. This is where I actually wanted to go with the story is there's all these other ways you can show your skill now. It used to be the four-year degree or even the two-year degree was a shortcut to say, oh, you did train. But now you can say, oh, but I took this coding class or I took, you know, there's so many other alternatives now with online learning that are certified or at least, you know, trust reliable that you don't have to, like, that's not the only way to show your skill.
Listen, Tom, all I know is that the founders of most of these companies have dropped out of college. So I think, you know, this is very ironic. Just saying.
You know what's not ironic? Our subreddit. Thanks, everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow.
What's in the mailbag, Sarah?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Tom. Craig, that's how he spelled it.
Starting at Nerdtacular, we began to refer to him as Craig.
Yeah. Well, Craig has thoughts on Friday's episode. We had our guest Shannon Morse, who was giving us our DEF CON wrap-up, and we were talking about hotels and the whole thing. So Craig said, you mentioned that DeepMind is working with Google on using neural networks to control data center cooling. I happen to work on that project. This project was piloted at one of the Iowa data centers and is being implemented worldwide. It's very interesting to see that the AI becomes more efficient at operating the cooling system, and then we need to keep a closer eye on it because it tries to figure out how to save even more energy, but sometimes that's detrimental to the equipment, so then we have to rein it in and tell it, stop doing that. It's potentially damaging equipment, and can you please not be so efficient? To address Shannon's comment about security, it's a valid question, is mainly addressed by the two-factor system in which the actions are compared against constraints that are programmed locally and cannot be overridden remotely due to hardware design.
Awesome. I love that a member of our community that at one point was just motorcycling across America and stopping at Nerdtacular in Salt Lake City, now working inside the data center where they're doing the DeepMind testing. That's fantastic.
Yeah, thanks for the info, Craig. Very cool. And also thanks to Patrick Beja for being with us this fine Tuesday.
Almost.
You were
almost
just thinking Wednesday. Australian. In Australia, yeah. It's Wednesday. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, actually, for 2 minutes, it's been Wednesday in Finland as well. So you got it right.
There you go. See? I'm on top of it. Patrick, what's been going on with you since we saw you last?
You know what? Pixels has been going on. That's a gaming show that I do every couple of weeks. But we just recorded an episode with Alicia Judge where we talk about a bunch of things that happened in the past month because I took one episode off. So just go subscribe to Pixels if you're interested in gaming in general and a show that covers that in detail. And should we talk about MVGB or not yet? Let's leave that for today.
Well, yeah, we have graduated the DTNS Labs games to its own feed, and that feed will be posted shortly everywhere, and we'll start talking about it. But keep an eye out for that, the monthly video game briefing.
Exactly. But for now, Pixel.
You will always get the monthly video game briefing in your Patreon feed along with everything else. And we are still, I think, still 12 people away from our goal for the month. So, folks, get all of the cool membership benefits at patreon.com/DTNS.
We love your feedback as well. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. Keep them coming. Honestly, great stuff, everyone. We're also live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back tomorrow with Scott Johnson. Talk to you then.
is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Now, we can reveal that that episode, while overseen by producer Roger Chang, was actually produced by Amos.
Woo! Yay!
Well done, Amos.
Can we do it like Craig?
Amos!
But then,
hey, Tom,
which one
Roger,
do we
Patrick
emphasize?
Amos!
Do we emphasize A or Mas?
That's your choice, Amos.
I think it's really a matter of urgency, though, right? Because it's if you're trying to get my attention to be Amos, but if you're like yelling at me because they just stole your car or something like that, then it'd be like Amos,
or it might not be Amos at that point. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You start doing Anthony Robbins.
Amos.
Yeah, it feels good. I have to go, and I know you have a ton of things to do, guys, but I really want to know what's happening with George R. R. Martin in the house.
Oh, you remembered. All right, real quickly. I was telling the story yesterday about how I fist bumped George R. R. Martin at the losers party for the Hugos on Sunday, because Sword and Laser was nominated for Hugo, but we did not win, and that was really fun. I don't remember what else we were supposed to continue with that story, to be honest.
Oh, was that it?
I think he was under the illusion that George R. R. Martin was coming to your housewarming party or something.
Yeah. No, yesterday. Yesterday. We were supposed to talk about it after the show yesterday.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
but
that's...
then the house, I don't know. Any questions?
Can I still crash at your house?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's the only thing that matters.
We'll have even more room.
Patrick's like, I live in Finland. I don't care where you move. Can I crash there?
Yes. Of course.
It's all the same to me.
All right. Well, all right, thank you very much. Patrick. Congratulations. Did you say you fist bumped George R. R. Martin?
Yeah. Or? Mm-hmm. I did.
That is pretty sweet as well. I mean, I'm disappointed.
Very lightly, so as not to damage the man's hands.
Yeah, exactly. You should be careful with him. I'm disappointed he didn't live in your house at some point. But
I know. Well, we'll see. Baby steps. We'll get there.
Yes. Okay. All right. Tell him he can take my room if he wants.
Oh, no. We got room for both of you. It's fine.
Oh, all right. Well, I mean, I was looking forward to having him stay in my room. But
or bunk
fine.
Beds,
well,
maybe.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Bye. Thanks.
Bye, Patrick. Thank you.
Bye, Patrick.
Thanks, Amos. Bye.
Amos!
Bye. Dark Knight wants to know if Amos is not just named after, but also acts like the Amos from The Expanse.
No, he's not as detached.
No, yeah.
It's really
Amos
hard to be that
has way
detached.
More affect. This Amos here shows normal range of human emotions.
Wait a minute, where did it go?
What are we calling this? What are we calling this?
One ring to track them all. Get it?
What?
No.
What does that have to
do? I get it.
One ring? What?
It's very esoteric, Tom. It's, you have to think about it.
What is it?
It was one ring to track them.
Which story?
Was the...
I get the one ring to rule them all reference, but which story does it refer to? Why am I being dumb?
I thought it was the Google Fit.
Oh, the ring.
Track.
I get it now. Okay, thank you.
It's so good, we didn't even get it.
Well, I didn't.
That's how you know.
You did.
Well, I was like, I think I know.
Yeah, that's a quick hit, though. It's hard to name a whole show after.
There's also agree to disagree on a degree's pedigree.
Oh, that's clever.
Ooh. Amos likes that one. Amos approves.
If you like it, I'll send it. We'll make it so.
All right.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Sending it to Amos.
Very clever.
Great cookie now. Cookie. All right.
Mm-hmm. It's almost poetic. Agree to disagree on a degree's pedigree.
What is my question?
Eric the Hoffabee.
So wait, we were talking about George R. R. Martin, but there was also one other thing we were supposed to remind ourselves to talk about.
House.
The TV show or yours?
No, it was the house. My house.
Oh, your house. Okay. Got it.
We mentioned that.
George R. R. Martin will be moving into Tom and Eileen's new house.
Correct.
That's just what happened. So
it's just the facts. Don't downgrade me on Facebook.
They have a
bro.
Spare bedroom. I mean, it's not that weird.
Right.
So Tom, I have to ask, like, do you have a plan for the transfer of the studio?
Yeah. I will put the things in my car and drive them there. That part probably was obvious. It's going to be a little bit of a thing, it's a little bit of a different setup. It's a smaller room, although it's still pretty big. And I probably, at least my thoughts right now is I'll keep the bookshelf, so it'll pretty much look the same on the video. A little bit of a different lighting situation maybe. And I've got Brent on email has sort of tentatively agreed to come look it over and give me some advice on setting it up. He's the guy who set this up. So
he'd be at least the right first step.
Yeah.
To getting it, you know, similar.
I may need different lights. This KinoFlow that I use, I will continue to use for my green screen, but I may be doing my green screen in the garage. And that's for what I do for Tech Republic. And for this, which is not a green screen, ha ha ha, it's not a green screen. For this, I would do it inside the house in the room.
Now, one would think, I mean, besides the fact that you'd have basically two different studios, the green screen being away from the DTNS situation is a good thing.
Yeah, well, I mean,
because then you don't have to move stuff around.
I was going to say, ideally, I can leave the green screen up. And if I don't use the same light, I can leave the light up. Right now, I have to move the light over when I shoot the green screen.
Oh, no wonder it's always slightly off. A little bit some days.
Thanks.
No wonder it's so strong.
You know whose fault that is? The producer of the show.
Well, who heard of
it? See, Amos? See?
Wait a minute. Roger's like, I deflect. Ha ha.
When you get your lighting, like once you're at that stage, let me know. I was wondering if we could maybe pick up different gels for you.
Oh yeah,
so you can have a different feel.
Yeah, for sure. Again, it may not be the same light. I'll have a situation that's more similar to what Sarah's got going on there. I may not even use the same camera.
I have three lights on me that I know it doesn't seem like I do because it looks like it's just, you know, mm-hmm. But it's quite well lit actually. But it's, I mean, this is cheap. Yeah. All this stuff is really cheap.
You kind of need three lights on you because you have so much backlighting, so much natural backlighting.
And that's going to be the case in my new place too.
Yeah. Well, we'll have a little lighting party.
Yay.
Light party.
Yay.
Yeah, so the first thing is to
bring
get
the dogs, bring the kids.
First thing will be to get the keys to the house. then the second thing will be to go over there with Brent and sort of figure out like, okay, what's the best recommendation? Then it's get the stuff like the gels and all that, and then set
and
it all
books
up.
Books and the whole, all the good stuff.
When you get the keys, you and Eileen need to be together and like have that smiling grin, like, oh, we just made it, like they do in the ads, like we got the keys to the house.
Well, you know, it's the timing is uncannily kind of perfect because it's almost a year to the day since you changed your studio.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a little bit before. Yeah.
November.
When I came on.
Yeah.
So it was mid-October, right? So
once a year. We should have a Sarahversary.
Yeah, we should.
We should. Maybe my new dog, to be named.
TBN.
TBN will be a part of this. Oh God!
Do you have any Microsoft cracks down? By the way, not crasks. We should fix that in the YouTube. There's a typo.
Crasks.
We should. Do you have name ideas yet?
I do. And
you don't have to reveal them if you're not ready. I understand.
I'm going to refrain. Because I want to make sure that when Doge is in my home and I look at him and he looks at me and we decide that like high five, we're doing this.
Yeah.
That the name that I have is still going to work, because sometimes you don't know.
Sometimes you look at it and you're like,
yeah, you're not a buddy.
Reginald.
You're not Reginald. After all, so
I really thought I would name my dog Reginald, but when I look in your eyes,
something about you is just not a Reggie.
Not Reggie.
Yeah, Reggie is a very cute name, but that's not the name that I haven't learned.
I figured I was pretty safe with that one.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that I have a name. And I'm so excited, and I'm really nervous, and
it's gonna be great.
It's a whole thing. I know. Just so much. So, for example, last night I was kind of tossing and turning, and just as one does, you know, and I'm thinking, like, I'm tossing and turning because I'm worried about getting the dog. But what if the dog was in this room right now, like whining or barking or needing to go out at 4 a.m.? You know, it's like there's all of these things where I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to have to, you know, that's going to be part of my life.
Yeah.
As of tomorrow. So enjoy the silence, Sarah.
That's the big thing is having the time to take care of them during the day, or having someone who can do it, right? Like a dog walker or something like that. That's to me the biggest change that you have to get used to is like, oh, I have to at least let you out, you know, twice a day to do your stuff, and I have to feed you.
Right.
I have to keep you from eating the cat food.
Well, one thing we have to do
exactly like all is, that stuff
is let the YouTube stream go and tell the rest of the listeners to listen to us on the audio Patreon feed.
Thanks, video folks. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Audio listeners, stick around.
Stick around. There's more to come.
Woohoo.
And here it is. That's it. No, we promised you more, and we are literally delivering.
We're still here, but we're out of
amount of material.
We're done. We're done. All right. So, Amos, you should be able to see the video.
We're still recording, though.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing.
Carry on. When you said we're done, I was like, no, I don't want to get the impression I'm not recording this.
Okay. No, because the YouTube stream's done. You can go and check on the creator dashboard for the video to relabel and rename the episode. Sorry.
No. That's okay.
Everything sounds good. Quiet.
I am overly paranoid about making sure people realize they're being recorded.
You are still being recorded, everyone. Even if you're listening, you're being recorded.
Yes, probably by somebody.
It's the trick of modern technology.
So, Sarah, are there other dog people in your building?
Yes, which which has been very helpful. So the person next door, well, when I say next door, it's like there are people all around me, but the woman who's the closest to me, she has a dog, and she's very supportive of this whole thing. Very
good. That's
in fact, she's going to come over later. And like,
I was going to say, that's a huge help right there.
Yeah.
Because then it's somebody that you might be able to, you know, you'll watch her dogs. She can watch yours.
Totally.
When it's necessary.
We've got a gal downstairs who has a very old, very sick lab mix, kind of a cancer thing. So,
been there.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a very dog friendly building.
That's great. That's going to help you a lot.
It's a huge part of this.
Yeah.
You know, whereas certain people are like, well, are you prepared for all of this? And I'm like, I think I am. I think I know what I'm signing up for.
Like some of it you just got to do, you know?
But then you have the dog people who are like, well, yeah, it's going to suck, but it's so much more worth it than not worth it. You know,
it doesn't suck. Don't worry about it. It's just like, oh, you've got a lot of stuff that you're going to have to do off the bat.
Yeah, but you have to change some routines.
Then you have
Louie
or whatever you end up naming him.
Well, he's currently Louie, but he's going to be somebody else.
Reggie. No.
Yeah. Louie is a great name. I just can't have a dog that. No, I can't have a Louie and a cat named Lucy. That's weird.
I get that.
This is where having pets and having children is different. You don't like have a you don't give birth to a baby with a name already.
Your baby comes from the hospital with a name already. I mean, I guess if you adopt, you do, but then you don't change it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's the other, you know.
You don't have to change your baby's name. Right, right. Yeah. That's a very good point.
Doctor's like, oh, you're a mother now. Here's Stan. You're like, oh, that's not gonna
That's not gonna work for us.
Yeah. I actually stopped, you know, I sort of stopped looking at the photo and the name, you know, because, you know, it was on a website. Because I'm like, I don't want to think of that name anymore. Like, that's not your name. And as I mentioned, you know, when Tom said yesterday, it's like, dogs don't. That you can change the name. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's more of the intonation than the name that they care about.
It's that they get used to, oh, when she says that thing, she then means me.
Yeah. Yeah. I get a treat or I'm in trouble.
You know, I better my attention. Didn't even recognize me calling her name until like two and a half.
A cat? Really?
No, my kid.
Oh,
my
kid.
Roger's human child. Yeah. Was like, what are you talking about?
When I was growing up, my stepdad was also named Anthony, so my mom called both of us Tony, and we could tell who she was talking to by the intonation of her voice.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
That's an interesting choice to not call you know, Junior or Chip or some, you know what I mean? Like,
right. No. Right. She would yell Tony, and we knew. We'd look at each other and be like, that's you.
It'd be like Big Tony or Little Tony type thing.
And that's what most people called us, but mom would just yell Tony, and when we knew who she was talking to,
where you're like, I'm the one who set that on fire. What are you talking about me?
Yeah, it might have been less about the intonation and the more about the apparent guilt that we had about what we had done wrong.
If she's calling me, I didn't get away with it.
I haven't done anything recently.
It's got to be you. I already got caught for my stuff. It's got to be you this time. Whose turn was it to let the dog out and didn't? Oh, that was me. Okay, it's got to be me. All right.
We got to my sister-in-law's house on Friday, and apparently the day before, her husband had left the gate open, and their dog, when they let her out in the backyard, decided to just wander up front in the street and see what's up. And thankfully, a neighbor was right there and picked her up. But he was a little bit still in the doghouse. Because we were like, how's Lilo? And they're like, well, glare. I'm like, oh, okay. She's fine, but.
My aunt and uncle just recently lost a dog because somebody had been breaking in the backyard. And so they were leaving their very, very large German Shepherd in the backyard. And they had tried to break in and hadn't closed the gate all the way. So the dog got out, got hit by a car. They went to the shelter, whatever, found one that looked just like him, except it was a female, brought her home. She has all the same mannerisms. She sleeps in the same spot.
That's
wants
weird.
To go out at the same time. She likes the same food. She like it's almost like.
But
like
is she evil? Like pet cemetery?
But she has a goatee.
Their old dog was really nice, just kind of like a lumbering, friendly Hulk, and she's kind of the same way. Just literally the female version of the same dog. It's really weird. They almost have the same coloring. Even it's uncanny.
That's
wild. Uncanny, like the X-Men.
Yeah, this is the X-Dog.
X-Dog. X-Dogs. It sounds like a TV show. Make it happen.
These people were formerly dogs.
I know that I'm always boasting about the fact that like, oh, I don't need, you know, AC in my house because I live at the beach, you know. But I also leave my windows wide open. My cats aren't jumping out the window.
No.
But
your dog probably
ever get out?
When it comes to a new dog, it's like, how are we going to reimagine all of this stuff?
You're pretty high
weight
up.
To screen, weight
I'm
to
high screen. Up, but I mean, a dog who's doesn't realize
again,
that
again. This is the dog's personality is going to make all the difference.
Totally.
If you have, you know, and again, you have to give it a month maybe to be sure. Yeah. But if it's like that dog just looks out the window and never gives it a second look, you're fine. Yeah, a lot of dogs won't.
Right.
If it's, he likes to put his paws up and look out the window, then you're going to have to keep monitoring it. You know,
right.
He might be an escape artist, but again, dogs don't generally jump off cliffs. So
right.
He's probably not going to jump out your window unless he thinks he can land or something.
Yeah. How far? And again, it's like there are solutions. I mean, put little, you know, gates up or, you know, what we'll do what we need to do, but. Again, just things where I'm like, oh my goodness. Because my cats are like, Ethernet cable, we don't care. There's nothing more boring than that. But like the dog might chew it. And
dog's probably not going to chew the Ethernet cable. Dog's going to chew something else you got, though. That's, you know, whether like it's a shoe or a purse,
like a very expensive shoe.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying
I don't have anything expensive.
I'm not saying the dog absolutely won't chew the Ethernet cable, but it's not top of the list. I've never had a dog that wanted to chew on cables. I was worried about that when we first got Django too, and none of my dogs have done that. I'm not saying that it's impossible. There are dogs who will, but that's they're going to go after like table legs, shoes, purses, soft things that feel great on your teeth.
Wow. Well, and the nice thing is that at least at the beginning, the studio has a door and can be sectioned off. And
stuffed
that's,
animals.
You know,
Django was always like, oh, all stuffed animals are my toys. So, yeah.
Yeah. And watch that tablecloth hanging out.
The kangaroo, for example.
All that stuff. I have to take off, but I will still be on Slack if you need anything, Amos.
Okay.
And I'll keep this recording until you guys are done. So there will be one.
Well, let's wrap up now. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And I don't know why I'm waving, but I'm waving in case
you
didn't tell.
Thank you so much for supporting the show. You guys are awesome.
We're waving.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good day.
Good day.